Welcome back to Courage to Shine with Michelle Colt. As usual, I've been really excited to dive into the content for this week's episode. The theme of shame has been coming up a lot. It's interesting also because last week I taught my Releasing Shame Around Selling workshop on Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. And the guys and gals, I should say guys and gals, yes, there's actually more men in attendance at this workshop than there were women, which was very interesting. The people that attended this workshop were pretty blown away by what happened. And then a couple of the women that have attended my Sacred Sisterhood workshops were quite fascinated on this whole theme of shame as well. Several of them have really dealt with a lot of shame in their lives. I'm definitely an expert in this area because of the research I've done over the years and really helped a lot of clients move through it, and also because I used to deal with debilitating shame in so many different ways. So I really relate personally and have my own personal experience around it and in it. I am extremely grateful that it does not run me anymore. So that's going to be the main emphasis in this week's episode. Vulnerability is not a weakness. Vulnerability is the portal into our creativity and the possibility of living with more love and expansion in every area of our lives. Now, I do feel it's really important to have a deep understanding of shame, what it is, how it comes up. It's one of the more tricky-dicky subjects because most people don't even know that they're dealing with it and that it's running the show. Courage, we could say, is telling the story of who you are with your whole heart. And connection gives purpose and meaning to our lives. So to be a wholehearted person, we have to have the courage to be imperfect. Having the ability to be compassionate with yourself and then with others. Connection comes as a result of our being authentic, which ultimately means we are stepping into our power. So I decided to look up the word power. And here was the definition: ability to do or act capably of doing or accomplishing something. I was a little flabbergasted when I read it. It's so simple. It's simply stated if you're looking at the definition, but it's very uncomfortable for most people to step into their power. We are able to be vulnerable and fully embrace our vulnerability when we're not afraid of it. And I believe deeply that our vulnerability is what makes us beautiful and authentic. Now, many people numb their vulnerability. And what's really interesting about that is you cannot selectively numb just certain parts of yourself or certain emotions. When we are in a state of numbing, every emotion is numbed, and this includes joy and gratitude. A really nice question to ask yourself to have more clarity around all of this would be this: how have I numbed my vulnerability in the past? Or you could state it this way: how have I numbed my vulnerability up until now? Oftentimes I use that languaging in sessions and with myself, up until now, because that's pointing to it stopping. Now, vulnerability is the birthplace of creativity, innovation, and change. Now check this out. Shame needs secrecy, silence, and judgment. Shame is a focus on self. When shame is coming up, there's this message: I'm bad. And or, I'm a mistake. Guilt has a focus on behavior. So guilt would be, I did something bad, or I made a mistake. What happens is, shame drives, I'm not good enough, and who do I think I am? Now, another great question to ask yourself would be, what behaviors, thoughts, and beliefs come up when I'm feeling shame? Now, this is super duper important. Empathy is the antidote to shame. The definition of empathy: the ability to understand and share the feelings of another. So the number one question right now is, how can I have more empathy for myself? Great question. Now, there's three different ways that people handle shame when it's coming up. The first one is they move away. They silence themselves, they keep secrets, and they disappear. In terms of the people in our lives, first people start to worry about us, and then it leads to it pissing them off. The second thing people do is they move towards people, people-pleasing, and they're not authentic. And they disappear. Their needs disappear in that one. And number three, they move against. They use shame to fight shame, or I like to say, they start slinging shame. Now, again, one is not better than the other. For me, when I was younger, when it would come up, I was the move away, silence myself, this idea of keeping secrets and disappearing. I think I've shared in a past episode recently that I would literally go into my walk-in closet, shut the door, and hold it really tight because the mere thought of my husband looking at me when I had shame coming up, it was like I wanted to crawl out of my skin. Another one of my clients recently shared with me that that's how it shows up for her. She wants to crawl out of her skin. Now, what makes shame so slippery is that when we go into it, we go into a place of full-on trauma. What happens with the mind and the body and the emotions are the same reactions that we have when we're afraid for our lives. Pretty dramatic, pretty intense if you think about that description. And also another incredibly important point is that when shame comes up, we have a tendency to go into age regression. We either become the child or we become the bossy bully parent or caregiver. Another really fun way of speaking to this that I love is this: we either shrink or puff up. Now, it is very helpful to be able to identify immediately or very quickly when we are in shame. And some ways to be more resilient when we're dealing with shame would be to, as best we can, remain authentic and be honest with ourselves. Because as we move out of experiencing shame as often as we have been up until now, we can come out of the experience with more courage, compassion, and ultimately more connection. First, connection with ourselves, and then connection with the people in our lives. Having the ability to laugh at ourselves and bring a silly sense of humor, as I always talk about, is very healing, and it's also a pattern interrupt. It is incredibly important to know that you are not alone in this. It's also very helpful to be able to identify what triggers our shame. Now, it's also really important to have realistic expectations in this area. There are many different messages that we receive that can set us up for shame. Always reminding yourself that you're not perfect. Perfection doesn't exist. And when we have that perfectionistic type of thing come up, as I've said several times in various episodes, it's a trauma response. And as best you can, remember, your vulnerability is one of your greatest strengths. And what I'm also saying in that statement is your authenticity is ridiculous. It's also helpful that when shame is coming up, you have the ability to reach out to others, a dear friend, maybe your partner. It is never, ever, ever a good idea to have a conversation with someone, text or email, until you're moving out of the shame. When I say it's not a good idea to talk, I mean in a professional situation. It is a good idea to talk about it with someone that you love and you trust. Now, another unbelievably fascinating thing about shame is that shame can literally be contagious in a room. One person's feeling it in a family, and now all of a sudden their children are feeling it. It really can get played out in family dynamics. I know my husband had a fascinating situation around this in one of his acting classes many years ago. Two people were in front of the class doing a scene. One person got triggered. It was as if it went down the leg of the chair, 3 feet to the other chair, and then up and into the other person, which then led to 2 or 3 people in the class who were watching moving into it. And I explained this dynamic to him, and it made so much sense. All right, so what are specific things you can do to become centered when shame comes up? So now this is a good time to jot down the different nervous system regulation processes that I have taught during the episodes, or you've learned elsewhere, to have them handy dandy when it starts to come up. Definitely the butterfly hug would be amazing. Also, doing the double the exhalation breath, super powerful. That literally even puts your heart into a more rhythmic sinking, is a good way to say it. Noticing the space auditorily, visually, and really showing yourself literally that you are physically safe. Very helpful. So, self-love can feel so elusive. And it's like you can't even relate to it if you grew up in a family with lots of shenanigans. And if your mom or your dad or your caretakers didn't have the capacity to love themselves, this literally gets passed down. And it has a lot to do with shame. This past Sunday morning, I sat down and I started to make a list of all of the different things that my new blueprint helps people with. As of right now, I have over 20 things that it has helped my clients and myself with. I use it quite often also. And I have noticed with a handful of clients that the new blueprint, I'll say it in this fun way, is like a shame buster. It's also really, really helpful around any kind of guilt. Now, most people, when they do a session with me or they learn it in Sacred Sisterhood, they don't know what to expect. They're not sure, what does this mean, this new blueprint? That being said, to a person, everyone has been utterly and completely blown away at the practical application of this process, and at the same time, how it begins to heal trauma. So, I am leaving for New York City this Wednesday, May 1st, and this coming Saturday, and then again on Sunday, I'm teaching my Sacred Sisterhood workshop in New York City on the Upper West Side. I have a couple of spots still open in each of these workshops if you want to jump in, which I, of course, highly recommend. Sacred Sisterhood is so special. The women that have attended my workshops in New York and in LA have said it is by far the most profound work they have ever done with me for lots of reasons. If you want more information about it, you can email me. And I also have a couple of spots next week in New York City open for private sessions with me in person. And if for some reason you would prefer to do Zoom, so many people prefer that now, of course, we can do a Zoom session while I'm in New York. And my next Sacred Sisterhood workshop in LA is on June 23rd. So, to jump into one of the workshops, learn my new blueprint, or book a private session with me, you can email me at michelle@michellecolt.com. I also have several clients who are presently working with me around inherited family trauma and the mother wound. And of course, that work is really, really groovy on very many deep levels. So if that's of interest, please reach out to me about that. If you can follow, rate, and review my podcast, it would be so appreciated. And it would be nice to get a couple of new reviews. And if it's been a while since you've done a review for the podcast, if you could do another one, that would be so groovy. And also, this is an important episode, so please share it with anyone you feel would benefit from it. Also, I have a beautiful ebook, The Nervous System Whisperer, that's available on my sweet website, www.michellecolt.com. Until next time.